This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning and welcome to the Dan and Dave Show, only on America's Web Radio. And we've got Mr. Left Coast on the radio with us today. Dan, how you doing?
Well, I'm freezing my buns off. I walked into my office this morning and I didn't turn on my heater earlier like I'd planned. And I think the old thermometer on the wall says about 32. So I'm chilly.
You can handle that.
I can handle it. I'm a big boy, right? I layered up.
Don't sound like those Democrats whining and crying. You know, they can't accept the fact that they lost. Old Hillary can't accept the fact that they lost. And it's going to be interesting. You think there'll be anything to the Electoral College today?
I don't think so, Dave. What time do we hear? Hawaii will be the last state, but will it be tonight?
I think we'll hear.
Certainly, they don't take all day to cast their vote.
Oh, no. Every state has a different time, it would seem, or from what I'm hearing, 2 o'clock, noon, 10 o'clock, I don't know. But one thing I didn't realize is that each state has to send their number to the vice president, and he's in a joint session of Congress maybe or something. Anyway, he presents the numbers and verifies and whatever and whatever and whatever. But it's really sort of we've shown the spotlight on the Electoral College probably this time around more so than ever. I can appreciate, and you'll probably not appreciate what I appreciate, but I can sort of appreciate the fact that the losing side, she got the popular vote, but Trump got the electoral vote. And so, the opposing side, I guess, has a right to contact the electorates, but Electoral College representatives, but what I was hearing today, it's gotten downright nasty with the death threats and we're going to kill your family and we're going to do this if you don't change your vote and all this kind of stuff. You know, at that point, I think we ought to call in the big guns and, somebody makes a death threat, then it should be a federal offense, and the FBI should go after
them. Well, I do too. I think it should be a federal law that you don't tamper with the Electoral College members.
Yeah,
they're chosen. They're above. The whole thing of popular vote and electoral vote is real interesting to me, and the situation this year where Trump loses the popular vote but wins the electoral vote. That's pretty interesting. And
I agree.
That does give the Democrats some room for whining and crying, but my goodness, they're taking it to the extremes.
But I just don't think
you can mess with the Electoral College people. That's not fair.
And the threats, I think it should be like threatening a police officer or federal officer or anybody else. You do it, and you're going to get punished for it. You're going to get caught, and you're going to be punished. And that's the end of the story. I have gained more and more support for what our founding fathers had in mind with the Electoral College. Nobody makes you live in California. Nobody makes you live in New York. And because those two areas might have the most population, they shouldn't control and run the country. What do they know about an Iowa farmer? What do they know about an Indiana farmer? What do they know about an oil worker in Texas or in Oklahoma or in any other state? And our forefathers did just such, how in the world could they foresee some of the things that they wrote into the Constitution?
Yeah, that was brilliant work that was done back many years ago.
I mean, and they understood that if one area had more people, they shouldn't be able to dominate elections. It's got to be a fair situation for everybody. And I just marvel, absolutely marvel at our Constitution and our founding fathers. So there.
Yeah, otherwise the politics of the country would be driven by the coasts, by East Coast and West Coast, and Middle America would just dry up and blow away politically.
Oh, yeah. And it'd be dominated.
Which is what happens on a state scale to states such as Oregon. And Oregon is largely conservative, except in three counties.
Yeah.
And those three counties always decide who's going to sit in the governor's office, who's going to sit in the senator's office. You know, that's the political throne of Oregon are those three counties. And I don't think it's fair.
No.
I think the state should have an electoral college.
How
about that?
I think you've got a very good point there. I think you should run for office.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't hear stuff like that on ABC, those other stations. I can't even mention them on the Dan and Dave show. It's disrespectful to talk about network radio or network media. We're so much better.
We see
things.
You know,
we get it, right?
I didn't watch any of the Sunday talk shows, quote-unquote news talk shows of the might be called, but I did. You can't avoid hearing clippets and all this from all of them. And some of the things that were said by the Democrats, by that stupid idiot Michael Moore, and by Podesta, who I can't even watch that jerk on anything.
Yeah, he was on Face the Nation, I think, or Meet the Press.
Their comments are so far out of, and then we got to put in your president, Mr. Obama, and his wife, Michelle, Fat Michelle. Their comments, Obama's comments about the nation being respected by everybody around the world now, and that he's leaving it in better shape than when he took over, and the economy is great, and everything's just peachy keen. I don't know what he had been drinking or smoking, but he lives in a different country from the rest of us. And then Michelle saying that we have no hope any longer. These people are just, that Kool-Aid has gotten to them, I guess.
Well, and what they say is divides the country. Obama said just enough in his speech, in his farewell press conference, to make you think that there really was a lot of interference from Russia, but he didn't give any facts. He says, well, those will be released later. But he says just enough to make everybody think that, you know, it's a bogus election, that Russia interfered, and
you heard
all these bad things. Well, Russia probably did some bad things that they shouldn't have done, but I don't think they swayed the election.
No, but you heard Obama. Now you cut that out, or there'll be consequences. I bet that just
red line.
Yeah, I bet that just scared Putin beyond words. Now you cut that out. You hear? And then the Chinese with our submarine's drone that was captured. We're in better shape than we were. We're one step closer to a world war, and we're one step closer to a dead economy, and it's...
Well, the Chinese gave us back our drone, correct?
Yeah. Anyway, we looked at it. This thing was made in the USA. We don't want any part of this piece of garbage.
Yeah.
It wasn't made in China. It probably won't even work.
Yeah, we've already got that technology.
Yeah. We've had this for years. That's how we knew how to capture one. We put the right minnow on our fishing hook, and that drone just sapped it right up.
I do wonder how they caught it. That's interesting that they could actually catch it. They must have disabled the controls. They must have taken over controls.
Or something.
Something, yeah.
Well, I think there's a book out. If not, I'm sure somebody will put a book out, How to Catch a Drone.
Well, you know, I think each drone ought to have about 10 pounds of C4 on it.
Well, that wouldn't be politically correct.
Put a little bite into it.
Well, that wouldn't be politically correct, and it might hurt somebody, you know?
Well, it might.
We have a guest on, I think.
It would just take one, and they'd keep their hands off of them.
That's true. We're supposed to have a guest on today, an interesting lady, as a matter of fact, Susan Swift, and she is the real Susan Swift. She's an actress. She was a child actress, and we'll go into some of that. And she's also very politically involved. She's all over Facebook with her opinion, and thank goodness it's conservative. But very interesting. So we'll have her on in a little while. And right at the moment, I guess we will take a break. And no, not yet, not yet. Go ahead, Dan, and tell us something else.
On Susan's Facebook page, it tells me everything I need to know about Susan. It says more Susan, less government. Already, I like her. So I'm looking forward to meeting Susan and finding out what's on her mind this morning. And I understand she's from California somewhere.
Well, actually, so she's initially from my home state. She was she's initially from
Minnesota?
Texas. No.
Oh,
Texas.
Lubbock. It's not Lubbock, Minnesota. Oh, Lubbock, Texas. That's what it is.
She was. She's from Houston. Hang on, I got to plug a plug in right here.
Yeah, I don't think Houston's a state, Dave. I think you have to go to Texas to be a state. But
well, Houston is Houston, and she is originally from Houston, so she's got to be a good old girl, you know. That can be said.
Yeah.
Okay, I got the thing plugged. I was trying to, I have a iPad, not an iPad, I have a tablet, and I must be doing something wrong. I turned the sucker off, and it still loses power as it's sitting there, and it just boggles my little mind, because I can't keep that sucker charged. And when I go to use
a little white cord, I think you plug into it, and if you do that, it won't. The batteries last longer.
What kind of white cord? Are you joshing me?
Is your cord white or
no?
Is it
black?
No, we'll plug it in.
It is plugged in, and I don't know whether I'm going to take it with me on our little journey or not. Maybe, but anyway, that's. I hate to start a Monday off like that. And I got things to do, people to see. I'm a busy boy. And I'm going to go.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to talk about your up and coming trip at all, but I'm excited that you're going to get out of town. I think that's appropriate.
Well, we got to take a break on that.
Atlanta will be, they'll be tickled.
They will. A lot of people will be glad I'm gone. Anyway, we'll be back right after this.
45 years of experience is behind the most trusted name in auto transportation. Passport Transport, the first and finest today. That's why Passport Transport is the preferred auto transport for major auto manufacturers, concours, museums, tours, and collectors, and should be your choice from across the state to across the country. When you have the need, go to PassportTransport.com and enjoy the peace of mind referenced experience will give you. Passport Transport.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we do thank you for listening to America's Web Radio. And the season may have gotten to us. I don't know. Susan was supposed to be calling in about now, and we haven't heard from her. So she, there's always the possibility that something happened. I know out where she lives in California, there was a big house fire out there, and I certainly hope it wasn't her house that went up. But, well, I'm sorry for whosever house it was, but who knows, she may live fairly close to it and was some way involved in that. I don't know. It was a big enough deal that it made the national news. So, and those houses in Glendale are pretty good-sized little abodes, so... We hope nothing went wrong, and hope everybody that was involved in that got out safely. Have the Oregon schools let out yet, or they let out this week, or do you know?
Yeah, Friday was the last day.
Well, that's good, so, because you all had
Friday,
the snow
Friday
and stuff.
Was a, well, yeah, it was an ice day, so we didn't have school Friday, and we didn't have school Thursday.
Oh.
We had two snow days back to back.
Oh.
And the snow, you know, we got about, I don't know, an inch or two of snow and a little bit of ice, and then it didn't melt. It stayed right around 20 at night and 30 in the daytime, and boy, this ice stayed around a long time. It drove most of us crazy that are used to getting out of the house a couple of times a day. And this morning, I still have ice on the driveway, and we have a rain coming down, so it's making the ice really, really slippery.
Well, we had our...
Hey, I noticed that,
We had our little Christmas dinner party last night. I say party. It wasn't a party, but because we're going to go visit one son. We had the other son and his wife over, and I bet that's Susan. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. And how are you doing?
I am fine. This is Susan Swift calling.
Yes, ma'am. I was concerned, Susan. I know where you live, and they had reported on the news this morning that there was a big house fire in Glendale. I don't know if you're very close to it or if it was totally something different.
I hadn't heard that, and I guess I'm not close enough to it because I never heard even so much as a fire siren or anything. So, no, I was just figuring out the Skype. That was my problem.
Ah, well, you've made it, and we're glad to have you. Dan's on from Portland, Oregon, and I'm here in Atlanta, Georgia. And you're the first real Susan Swift, and I must say the first liberal we've had on the show. Am I to eat my words at this point?
You're funny. Well, I guess, yeah, I am the real Susan Swift, because that's my handle. Liberal? I'm not. Sure.
Liberal?
The wrong gal.
I've noticed on Facebook, and that's where you and I met, that you, Polichicks, I believe, and you're also, you, every now and then you express an opinion, I believe.
I do. I'm opinionated. I say yes. I like to say I'm short and sweet and to the point, like a bayonet.
I think we understand that.
This is Dan. How are you morning?
I'm very well, thank you.
You sound like you have Texas somewhere in your background.
I do. It comes out when I talk to good folks from home.
Good for you.
Well, you're from Houston, I believe. Dan and I both graduated from Texas Tech. I'm from Lubbock, and Dan's from a little place where we used to go through on the way up to skiing, Roswell, New Mexico. And he's one of those things that landed in 1947 that they haven't identified yet.
Well, see, now he's an illegal alien.
That's right. He just sort of
That might be.
He just sort of dropped in.
You've been dropped. I'm sure they shipped you, and you're one of these you know illegal aliens. We need to ship out. Send home.
Now I've got my papers. I got my papers. You can't get rid of me that easy.
Okay.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Houston. Although when you're in Houston, you pronounce it with a Y, like Houston. It's kind of like what Donald Trump says. It's huge. So Houston is huge. That's how they pronounce it down there. Houston.
Houston. Well, before we get into what's going on today, Susan, I think everybody would be excited and interested in you've had a very varied career starting when you were a child. And so if you don't mind giving us a little bit of your biography, I think we'd all love it.
Oh, well, you're very kind. I don't like talking about myself, but I understand. I was born and raised, I said, in Houston, and my mom was a school teacher, and my dad was a life insurance salesman down in Galveston, actually. And one of the things that my mom and dad would do, like moms and dads do, if you enroll in the Girl Scouts or the Boy Scouts or art lessons or piano or anything like that, one of the things that they wanted to know if we wanted to sign up for was there were acting lessons. This was at the, it was called the Merry-Go-Round Theater in Houston, Texas. It was a school that was attached to the Alley Theater. The Alley Theater is a prominent theatrical professional production location in Houston, and they had a little school that was called the Merry-Go-Round. The Merry-Go-Round school is not there anymore, I don't think, but the Alley Theater certainly is. In any event, they said, do you want to sign up for these acting lessons? It meant that they'd have to drive from where I lived in League City, Texas, down to Houston, up sideways to Houston once a week. And I said, well, I don't know. I might not like it, and I don't want to be stuck in it forever. I don't want it to be forever. And my mom said, well, we have to sign up for a month at a time, and if you like it, then we'll do another month. So just try it for a month, four weeks. I said, okay, I'll try it. And from the very first class, I just loved it. So I was going there every week at the Alley Theater and the Merry-Go-Round Theater. The first ever little part I had in a play was they did the Yellow Brick Road, which is, the Wizard of Oz, basically. So it was the Yellow Brick Road, and I was in the little kid class, the youngest kids, and so they cast us all as the little people who greet Dorothy. And I was named Murgatroyd. That was the name of my character. And there's a bunch of little characters out, little girls all come up. They're dressed in flower costumes, and so she's landed in this Wizard of Oz, and they all come up and, hi. You make these little kittery noises, these little tiny squeaky little girl noises. They'd all come up. And I was, standing in line waiting my turn to go up and say, my name's Murgatroyd or whatever. And it just occurred to me, they all sound the same. They all sound like that. They're going, ee! So when I walked up and they introduced me, and this is Murgatroyd. I did an awkward curtsy and I said, And the whole audience just burst out laughing.
You had to be different.
I had to be. I just thought of it. It was just one of those things that just kind of popped into my head. It's like, I got to be different. So that was the very first part I ever had.
So from there you went.
And then I continued on there, and this is in 19, I guess, probably 75, 76, 76 probably. Robert Wise, who was a preeminent director, God rest his soul, he had directed The Sound of Music, West Side Story. He had been, I believe, the editor on Citizen Kane, Run Silent, Run Deep, The Day the Earth Stood Still. He's got a resume that goes forever. A prince of a man, really gentle, wonderful man. And so anyway, Robert Wise had been hired to be the director in the film Audrey Rose, which was based on a book by Frank DiFelita. And they had already interviewed every girl in Hollywood for the role of the child who was to be Audrey Rose. The character's name in the book is Ivy Templeton, and Ivy is the reincarnation of Audrey Rose. The book is about reincarnation, and it's not like a psychopathic killer bloody thing. It's a real. It actually ponders the notion of, is there such a thing as reincarnation? The author, Frank DiFelita, who I of course met and just love, his son Raymond, from a very, very young age, and this is what prompted Frank to write the book. His son would, this is at, I don't know, age 3 or 4 or 5, something very, very young, would sit down at the piano and bang out just in perfect, you know, harmony, all the fingering, everything, perfect songs in a type of a genre. I don't know the artist, but kind of like an Al Jolson, I don't know the name of the songs that he was able to play, but he would sit down and do it. He'd never had a piano lesson in his life, ever. No one had taught him piano, and he would sit down and just bang out this beautiful, you know, piano piece in kind of a certain style that was just in the 20s, from the 20s. So it was something that he wouldn't have even been around growing up in the 70s. And that's what caused Frank to start thinking, you know, I think this kid, you know, might be reincarnated. And so that grew into the book, Audrey Rose, which is, it ponders the notion that, all right, if a person is reincarnated, they have to go through many lives, and if you get interrupted in the course of the event, you're supposed to be born, learn something, die, pass on, and rest in this astral plane, if you will, for a time until your soul is ready to be born again on the next journey, I guess, that you're supposed to be learning. And this is the reincarnation theory, I guess. And if I have it wrong, I'm sorry. This is what I understand. So if I'm ignorant, please forgive me. But in any event, in the book, the character, Ivy Templeton, she has the soul of Audrey Rose. Audrey Rose was killed violently in a car crash. And the instant Audrey Rose's soul died, it fled immediately into the body of the Ivy Templeton who was just being born. And so the idea was that the soul hadn't had a time to rest and reflect upon her life and her tragic death, and so was not prepared to be born so quickly into the body of Ivy Templeton. Okay, so in the film, Ivy Templeton grows up experiencing these horrific nightmares. She relives her death over and over again every night, and it's very dramatic and very stressful. Of course, the mother is, you know, in tears over it. The father, they don't know what's wrong with her. They think she's possessed. All kinds of, you know, every night this is happening, she, you know, she'll break things in the house, she, you know, by running around, flailing around and falling down, and it's very frightening for the parents. Meanwhile, the father of Audrey Rose, who is devastated at the loss of his wife and child in this horrible accident, he believes in reincarnation, and he's searching for the soul of his daughter, because he's just convinced that she's still alive somewhere in the body of a new child, that the soul has been reborn. And so he's hunting the world over, and he's focused now on Ivy Templeton. And so he's a bit of a stalker. And that actor was Anthony Hopkins. So Anthony Hopkins plays
Susan, I'm going to have to interrupt. I'm going to have to interrupt you. We're up against a hard break. Let's come back, and we'll finish that.
And I'll
okay, we'll be back right after this.
This is Skip Coriel, host of the Home Defense Show on America's Web Radio. Join me every week as we explore all aspects of home and family defense as we strive to defend the ones we love in an ever-changing and volatile world.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And welcome back to the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio. And we're delighted, and this is so much fun. I'm going to ask Susan, will you promise me if Dan doesn't insult you or anything like that, that you'll come back and be on our show again?
Well, sure I will.
Okay.
I'll make him be nice. Don't worry.
Okay, so we were going through...
I'm a nice guy, Susan.
Yeah, but
that's what I've heard.
He lives in Portland, and you know about those people in Portland, don't you? Mm.
Oh, those people in Portland. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he's one of them, too, I think. But anyway.
You just never dry out, though, do you? You're always wet and rainy up there, so you need some
more sunshine. Yeah, today you would think we never dry out. But we keep it weird in Portland.
So anyway, Susan is gonna continue her bio, and then we're gonna get into talking about the Electoral College today and Susan's activity. She is an active, I don't want to say politician, but you're active in politics. I guess that's the way to say it. And
I guess people on the left would call me a radical right wing bomb thrower or something like that. I don't know. I guess I'm a political commentator. I suppose that's it. But anyway, to wrap up a little story, and I did go long. I'm so sorry. But anyway, in the movie, Audrey Rose, Ivy Templeton experiences her death. There's a legal struggle. She dies a very horrible death. Anyway, the people who were trying to cast the film could not find any actress in Hollywood who would do it. They did a nationwide search. And they came to Houston, Texas, and auditioned me there. And then brought me out to California to do a screen test to make sure that I didn't look too odd on film, or at least I looked odd enough to be in the film. I don't know. And then they finally cast me as Ivy Templeton in Audrey Rose. And from there, I enjoyed a career in film and television, which included Harper Valley PTA with Barbara Eden, the Chisholms, that was Robert Preston and Rosemary Harris, and other different television things that I've done. And that was a very fun part of my life, but then it was time for me to get an education, and I did. I did make a couple of mistakes by believing that, oh, well, my mom and dad, of course, they said, you got to have education. They can't take education away from you. So instead of continuing and pursuing acting, I went to college, and I literally, my agent, which was the Gersh Agency, it's now called TGA, and Scott Harris, who he's now at Paragon. He's got a fabulous agency of his own right. They'd call me and say, oh, well, you have an interview. And I said, well, but I have a midterm. I can't go. So I kept, you know, unknowingly shooting myself in the foot because I, you know, I'm young. I'm 18 and 19 and don't know any better. So my film career and television career, I was one of those people who I probably should have suspended college, but I didn't. And so you can't get parts if you're not going to auditions. It's one of the basic rules. It's like you can't win an election unless you're on the ballot. You know, it's duh. So that was my mistake and my bad. But in any event, I went on, got a law degree from Pepperdine University and practiced law in downtown L.A. at a very prominent firm down there for a few years. And then it was time to get married, and I knew that I wanted children, and I knew that I wanted to raise them. I didn't want to, you know, have a nanny for each kid and not see them. And I figured that's my job. If I'm volunteering for the job of mother, then I better do it to the best of my ability. And so I left the law firm that I was at and said, no, I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom and raise my kids. And I have seven of them with my husband, and that just proves how stubborn I am.
So that was career number two, and then career number three is the kids and family life.
That's right, and that is the.
Okay, thank you.
I like to say I've been called by God to be a mother. So that is my career as being a mom, and it's important, I think, to raise my job is to raise seven good little conservatives. Well, anyway, good people. If they turn out being liberal, I'll love them anyway. But I'm supposed to raise good citizens who care about other people and who think of others, not just themselves. That's my job, and they are works in progress.
Susan, you bring up a good point because I bring this up all the time. As we point fingers at kids, teenagers that do this or do that, or even the super liberals that are supposedly adults. You know, we had a thing in our household, and I have two great sons. One is a captain in the Air Force, and the other's a CPA. And we had a word in our household, and it's a terribly un-PC word, but it was called discipline. And it wasn't. It wasn't let's sit down and reason together when they were 2 or 3 years old, or even when they were teenagers. It was. Okay, this is the way it's going to be, and I've got a little thing here called the Texas Tailblazer, and they only wanted it once, and you know, I didn't get arrested for child abuse or anything like this, but you know, you look at the situation that we're in today, you've taken discipline out of the homes, if there is a home, if there are two parents, you've taken discipline out of the schools. And look at the results. Am I wrong?
I think you're right. And we all know that there's an attack on the family. We know that. And part of that is an attack on, I think one of the biggest attacks is on fatherhood and discipline and having men who are leaders in the home. The liberals have, they did their darndest to destroy the black family through slavery and the like. And that we have seen that devastated an entire community. And what we need is strong families. And where a father is in the home, kids usually do better. The other attack that has been going on for a long time is through feminism, which is not only to attack masculinity, which is that's you know the feminizing of women of men is terrible. I mean now you're supposed to have a dog, supposed to have a cat. But what we're doing is we're breaking up families so that the woman is the only thing that matters, meaning that men are irrelevant in the family and divorce is very common. And women are supposed to now be the father figure and the mother figure, and it's very hard and it's draining on women. It's very, very hard for women. And yet the divorce culture, we got 1 in 2 divorce, and I think it's crippling a lot of families. And so then you've got, you know, families with two rules. You go to dad's house on the weekend, and it's one kind of rule, or there's no rule. And then you go back to mom's house, and there's a different set of rules or whatever, customs, and it starts confusing children, and they don't really have a plan. And I think it devastates families I don't think there's an easy, quick solution for it, but being stubborn and hanging in there, even when you don't feel like you still love somebody, and hanging in there for the kids, that's very honorable. People would look at me and say, well, then, you know, that's wrong. But I really believe that that's why part of why you get married, of course, is for the love of the other person, to become a unit together, a married unit for your own benefit. But another reason for marriage is to raise the children. And once you've committed to having children, well, you got to be stubborn and hang in there, and then through thick and thin. I'm not saying, and people will attack me, well, what about abuse and what about alcoholism? Well, that's kind of a different case. But I think we've made divorce much too easy and much too attractive and popular, especially in the popular main culture. And we've glorified it and we've sold it to women as kind of a better way to be than, you know, have to be a housewife at home and put up with that old jerk. Well, but he is the man in the family, and he can provide something that a woman just can't, which is being a good model, to be a good disciplinarian, if need be, the breadwinner, all of those things that are kind of traditional. It does upset liberals when you point these things out, but that combination of the masculine and the feminine in the home, committed through thick and thin, through stubbornness or whatever you want to call it, and hopefully through love, actually, it's better for kids, even than anything else. It's better than a divorce situation. I think we see that. I'm stubborn enough to hang in there, but I've got a very wonderful husband who is equally stubborn and loves his kids too, and so we've made it work. But you know, every now and again, you make it work. It's not all flowers and roses and chocolates either. So, but. In any event, that's what I do. I'm a mom, and when I can, I just, about nine years or so ago, I was so mad, I was so furious at then, it was the Democrat Congress and House pushing Obamacare down our throats, and this was right around Christmas time. I believe it was on the 23rd or 24th, it was Christmas Eve, that they jammed this vote down our throats, and not one Republican voted for it. But before that happened, Rush Limbaugh was talking about it on his radio show, predicting that, yeah, this is exactly what they were going to do, and this was against the will of the people. And I just got so angry. I was so furious at seeing my government hijacking the will of the people and not listening, that I called into his radio show and expressed myself rather passionately, and he let me roll. I just rolled through three segments and just kept going, and from that came an invitation from Andrew Breitbart, who was listening at the time. He said, that's news right there happening right now. I want to find her. And he invited me on to write for Big Journalism, which later became Breitbart 2.0. So it's Big Journalism, Big Government. Those are his little sites that created Breitbart. And so I wrote for that site for a number of years, and now I write at politichicks.com and also occasionally at Conservative Firing Line, which keeps getting banned on Facebook because Facebook just doesn't like Conservative Firing Line very much, because we keep putting up articles that challenge the liberal status quo, so they get banned a lot.
Well, now, you got your law degree, right?
I do.
Did you ever practice?
I did. I practiced in downtown law at a prominent firm in Los Angeles, Orrick, Harrington, and Sutcliffe. I was there for a few years. And it was primarily civil litigation, insurance defense. I did a little bit of whatever the partners would hand me and say, hey, we needed this researched and done, you do it. So I did it. So
okay,
basically so civil litigation.
Have you ever been a fireman? I think that's the only thing you've missed.
No, I've never been a fireman. I've never even had to put out a fire in my kitchen. I haven't even done that yet. I haven't burned it so badly yet, although sometimes I've burned some bad dinners, but not so bad that I needed to be a fireman.
Well, I think that's the only thing that you haven't done. So what do you think of today and what's happening today with the Electoral College?
Oh, well, today is a great day. Today is the day that we all wake up and we say, Hillary lost. Again!
Because
today is the day.
Yes.
This is do-over day. This is great. And we get to watch it all happen again. The brilliance
Groundhog Day.
Yes. it's going to be what it's going to be huge all over again. She's defeated. I'm very glad that she's defeated. I was not a Trump fan, and I've seen some of the appointments that he's made. Some concern me. Some sound pretty good. I'm going to have to give him the benefit of the doubt, just like I did President Obama. By the way, I crossed my fingers and held my breath. Not very long, obviously, but I was hoping that he would be a better president than he was. But for Mr. Trump, I'm going to hope that he does some of the things he said, and I'm going to suspend my reservations about him because he did one really, really good thing. He beat Hillary like a rented mule, and that's what I want.
You know,
that woman was that woman was corrupt and evil, in my opinion, and I think it would have been a disaster had she won and continued Obama's legacy and cemented the power of the elite liberals in Washington. I think that would have been the end of the United States as we know it. So I'm going to be celebrating the defeat of Hillary again today. I think it's fabulous. And it does point out, you were talking at the break, you made such a, I think Dan made a great point, which is these founders of our nation, the founding fathers who wrote the Constitution and set out this entire representative democracy that we have, our republic, they were brilliant. They were brilliant because even now, 220-odd years later, 225, 26, what are we up to, they foresaw that there could be problems with a very powerful federal heavy hand, maybe even forcing electors to change their votes. And so they decentralized power. And even right now, we're seeing electors, regular people who've been appointed by their fellow citizens in a state, go down to the state capitol and cast their ballot according to the will of the people in their local area, in their state. It is all about what the people, the boots on the ground, the grassroots, voted for, and that those electors are pledged to vote what those voters actually told them to do, even if it upsets them. I mean, for me, I was a Cruz supporter, but if I were an elector and I had taken a vow, which is a very solemn thing, that's in front of my God, I say I promise to do this, then I would be bound to cast my electoral vote for Trump if my state had so dictated. And that's what we're going to see play out across this country. We're going to see very noble, regular American men and women who feel bound by their sense of honor and duty to do what they promised to do, even if it bothers them. Because as we know, there's a few that might not want to vote for their elector. Even we're hearing that some Democrat electors might even cast a vote for Romney. Oh, isn't that rich, by the way? Don't you just that's got to stick in their craw that we've got this astroturfed idea that's being pushed by probably George Soros and others to telling Democrat electors, well, why don't you vote for Romney, and that will encourage some of the Trump electors to maybe switch to Romney, and we can avoid the evil that is Donald Trump. I think that's just rich. They're going to have to vote for Mittens Romney over Clinton. I mean, and they're willing to do it. That's how desperate they are to try to somehow sway the electors to vote for Trump. I think that's hysterical. But what you're going to see, for the most part, not some of these faithless liberal electors, you're going to see faithful Americans, because that's what Americans are. America was founded on the Judeo-Christian concept that our rights come from God, not government. And we respect that gift of freedom, that gift of life, that gift of self-governance. We respect it on a religious basis, we do. And you're going to see people who've taken a vow and understand that, you know what, this is for my country, and this is because I said I would do this. I am going to be faithful. You're going to see faithfulness carried out today by electors all over the state, everywhere, in all the capitals. They're going to cast votes for Donald Trump, and he will be today officially the next president, and he will be president-elect. This will formalize it, and we can then all go forth today, this evening, and we can all raise a glass, whether it's beer or wine, or sparkling water, I don't care what it is, and we can toast Hillary's defeat again. It's gonna be huge.
Why?
Listen, I want you to breathe, and I want you to look down and see what you're standing on, and I bet it's a soapbox. You're a passionate woman, and you're having fun. I enjoy that. I enjoy hearing your opinion.
I'm actually sitting down here in my teeny little, it's a little cellar in California. We don't really have basements, but they do in some of these older homes. It's a little cellar where they've got the heating unit and the water heater and things. It's a little wine cellar. So I'm actually sitting in my little wine cellar. That's what I'm doing right now.
And
not a soapbox.
And testing, and testing what you've got in the cellar?
That's pretty much it.
Are you testing what you have in the cellar as we speak?
I have a little refrigerator of fairly good wine, and I think we're going to have to, we will have to break it out. You're actually right. Thank you very much for reminding me. I will. My oldest daughter is coming back from college today, because she, you know, she's finished up with her fall semester, so she'll be home tonight. And I think you're right. I think we all do need to raise a glass and toast Hillary's second defeat. I think that's a great idea. And I will get a little bottle of wine out of the wine cellar. They're not very great.
So let me know.
I will absolutely do that. I will remember you guys.
So your daughter's your oldest, correct? And she's in college. What does she bring back from college as far as politics go, and do you agree with it, or do you talk to her about it, or?
Well, I think I did a pretty good job inoculating her and my son, who's also at college, because in college, for the most part, vampirizes children. They're like vampires. They come, and they suck the good sense out of them, and they turn them into liberals. That's what we see over and over again, and that's why I think so many Americans are very fretful about, well, what college should our kids go to if they go? My daughter goes to Baylor University, and that's a good place, and that's in Texas. And it's not as crazy as some of the more liberal places. So I think she's in a good place, but she's also a very, very well-grounded young woman. And she is, I think, for the most part, conservative. But you know what? When her ballot came, this is going to be her first chance to be able to vote. It was an absentee ballot. I mailed it to her. I didn't open it. I didn't do anything with it. I didn't vote it, of course. That would be a crime anyway. But I didn't even, you know, say, hey, you want me to, honey, and I'll fill it out over the phone. I sent it to her because that's her right. That, you know, many, many men and women over many wars have fought for so that my daughter could cast her own vote in a presidential election. So she voted her own conscience the way that she thought. I don't know how she voted. I have some good ideas, but I don't know. And same for my son, because that's what I raised them to do. They don't have to vote like me, and they don't have to think like me. They just have to, they have to be knowledgeable about what they are doing. If they have the good sense to explore, ask questions, and gather some facts, and then make the decisions based on their own, you know, their own experience and the facts. They may end up knowing more than I do someday, and they may come to me one night when I'm very old and explain why I really have to cast my votes for one of these darn liberals, one of these Democrats that might be running in 20 years. I hope they're still out of power by then, and we have to have that problem. Like, oh yeah. The party is so marginalized because they're the party of the codes on the left and the right. I hope they're so marginalized that you know, we're going to be pointing at them and saying, oh, yeah, I remember when they were in power. Ah! And it'll be 20 years of basically conservative.
Do they?
But we don't have a conservative yet. We don't have a conservative government yet. What we have is an establishment. We have a rhino establishment with Trump at the head of it, and we have to be very careful. We have to start really moving now that we've dodged a terrible bullet by avoiding the legacy of Obama 2.0 in Hillary. We've dodged that. Now what we all need to do as conservatives is start dismantling the establishment on the Republican side, the rhinos, and this whole notion that, well, it's okay, we'll redistribute the money in a better way. That's what the rhinos want to do. They want to just have control over the same amount of a huge, you know, amount of federal money.
Yeah,
and then
the swamp is not drained yet.
No, it's not by any means. And we're conservatives. We're kind of in the minority a little bit. So what we have to do is just keep up the drumbeat and continue to be very, very vigilant and make these changes permanent and then continue to add gains. But we got to do this just like the liberals. How have the liberals gotten to where they've gotten to? They own the, you know, the educational establishments, and they pretty much owned government until just very recently, until the Tea Party. How did they do it? Incrementalism, step by step. It's like how you eat an elephant, one bite at a time. Okay, that's how we got to do this. We got to do this one office at a time, whether it's down at local dog catcher, whether it's local city council, if a state representative, I don't care. You do it one office at a time, and you find really good, solid conservative people, and you help them get into office. And pretty soon, one bite at a time, you're eating up the liberal donkey. How about that? And then pretty much they'll just be in a museum somewhere, and we'll go over there and we'll point at them and laugh.
You know, something that I've noticed that's been totally hadn't been mentioned at all. The Democrats have been yelling and screaming about the Electoral College and the hacking by the Russians. Wait a second.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a second. Whose administration let the Russians have the ability to hack to begin with? You don't ever hear that side of it.
Oh, you're just too smart. You're paying attention, aren't you? Exactly. We've had 8 years of Obama, and we already know from the New York Times article that came out last week that went on for like 9,000 words or something. If you print it out, it's over 20 pages. He knew. He knew about everything that was going on, the breaches and the hacks into the DNC, but he didn't want to talk about it. He knew that the Russians were trying to do something, but he didn't want to talk about it because he needed Russian alliance with the Syrians, with the problem with Syria. Give me a break. Now, and as far as the hacking goes, look, Russia, China, you pick it, Australia, everybody's trying to hack into other governments to get an advantage. Whether it's Israel or Australia, they're all trying to probe each other. That's nothing new. The problem is they got in not because of any you know, Russian interference necessarily. It was John Podesta himself. He clicked on a phishing, one of these things that popped up on your email. It's phishing with a PH, like a smart fish, PH phishing, okay? He clicked on a link that said, oh, wow, click here. And he opened up, by clicking on that phishing link, he opened up his files to be hacked. And that's how 60,000 emails got swept away. I don't even think it was Russia at all. WikiLeaks Julian Assange has said repeatedly, it's not Russia, folks. It's not Russia. He's not giving up his source of who it is. What I really believe, it's a Bernie Sanders supporter or someone inside at the DNC that really supported Bernie Sanders, because don't you know, we have absolute proof, concrete proof, that the DNC collaborated and in coordination with Hillary Clinton's campaign to make sure that Hillary Clinton had the superdelegates and that Bernie was shut out. So if anybody in America should be really upset at the hacking scandal, it should be the liberals. It should be the Bernie Sanders supporters. He actually ran a very good campaign. He was very dynamic. And you know what? Frankly, he's an honorable man.
Susan,
it's hard to say this about a communist, but he is. He's an honorable communist.
Susan,
you know what you were going to get. If you were voting for Bernie, you were going to get exactly what he promised, which is he was going to burn down Wall Street.
Susan,
you know
I'm almost scared.
Voted for Bernie Sanders than Hillary.
Susan, I'm almost scared to do this, but we're out of time. And I'm going to have to cut you off, I'm afraid.
Okay.
So if you don't mind, I'm...
Everybody go out and celebrate the second defeat of Hillary Clinton today. It's going to be a beautiful day.
That's right.
Woo.
And we will be... I will be in touch with you very shortly, Susan, if that's okay. And with
all
that
right.
being said...
And remember what this is really all about.
Absolutely.
This is really about our rights as individuals and freedom. These come from God. And God bless America. That's what today is all about. We won. Celebrated again. We defeated, basically, communism. We defeated it. And these electors are part of that. And so God bless America. And thank you for the founders. This is a great day.
I want to thank Susan Swift for being on the Dan and Dave Show. Stay tuned now for the Land Surveying Show with Kurt Sumner and his guests on the NSPS Hour. Only on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.